Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. In the last conversation we had on this subject, we discussed heaven and hell and the idea of parallel dimensions. We pointed out the fact that modern science is laced with a great many atheists and people who don't believe in God are actually describing exactly what the Bible describes as parallel dimensions and string theories. They're even... I remember once when Hawkins was backed into a corner about where did it all start, how did it all begin, how did life get established, because they're discovering how life is such a complex, clearly designed, intelligent designed creation, that he finally said that, well, life on Earth probably was started by extraterrestrials. And that was quite a leap in... And quite an admission on his behalf. And of course, Jesus Christ could be called an extraterrestrial because he's not from this planet. We don't think of him as a little green man, or he didn't get here necessarily in a flying saucer or any of those kinds of modern terminology. But the reality is he's not from this world. He's not from this planet, but his kingdom was on this planet. And when he said not of this world to Pontius Pilate, he was talking about the constitutional order or system of government of Pilate. It's something we've discussed many times before, and we clearly define in articles and videos and audio tapes on our website. Just look up the idea of this world. Look it up in the search engine on every webpage at hisholychurch.org, and you will find out that you have been misled. You have been deceived, which is a common theme throughout the Bible, and certainly one of the first themes of the Bible is the deception of mankind to think that he can figure things out in his head, by eating of the tree of knowledge, rather than by divine inspiration in the tree of life. This is also a common theme throughout the Bible, this idea of revelation. And Christ said he would build his church upon that revelation. So all the facts and the information and the quotes that I use are not meant to lead you. They're simply meant to rattle the bars of your own mental and spiritual cages, to awaken you to the fact that you have returned to the bondage of Egypt, to the elements of the world, to these ideas and philosophies that have brought you back into subjection, not to God, not to the ways of God, but to the ways of false gods, men who would be gods over you. And you are not in the liberty of Christ. You actually don't really believe in Christ for the most part, at least you haven't up to this point. Hopefully you will turn around and realize that you have been in error, that you have been deceived, that you have been misled, and that you have gone off in the wrong direction. And so we're going to look at a lot of different things in quotes in the Bible, and the idea is not to create another religion that you will blindly follow, but to awaken you to understand the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Moses, the gospel of Abraham, because they are all the same gospels. All religions, just about in the world, I couldn't really say all, but the vast majority of religions, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, if you read the book, Thy Kingdom Come, you will see that they all go back to Abraham. And so once you find out what Abraham was actually doing, why he left Ur, why he left Haran, why he was called a Hebrew, why he was setting up these peculiar altars, and what those altars were actually made out of and what they were actually doing, you will begin to see that, oh my gosh, oh my God, we have been deceived. We have been misled. And we have gone whoring in the wrong direction. And now, what do? Well, we repent. We turn around. We go back in another direction. And we go back in the direction of Christ. You will find yourself going back in the direction of Abraham. Going back in the direction of Moses. Not in the direction of the Pharisees or what we call Jews today. Or what we call Christians today. Because the Christians today have more in common with the Pharisees at the time of Christ. If they actually, many of the Christians or people who calling themselves Christians today, were actually to understand the simplicity of what Christ was saying. What he meant when he said, you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. He said, it was not to be that way with you. But yet that's how most Christians obtain their benefits today. They obtain them from benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. That's how you get your benefits. What are your benefits? Public education is your benefit. That's one of your benefits. You have public schools everywhere in every city of the United States, in Canada, in South America, in Australia. How are they supported? They are supported by your neighbors who have to pay in to a public coffer to build that school, to pay those teachers. You say, oh, but education is good. Yes, education is good. Learning is good. But not if you have to force your neighbor at the point of a gun to provide it. That is called coveting your neighbor's goods. And Exodus 20:17, it talking about the laws of God Almighty. Laws that were recognized by Christ, listed by Christ if you wanted to have eternal life. He said, thou knowest the commandments, keep them. What was the commandments? One of them was, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You're not supposed to desire it. You're not supposed to, I'm not talking about stealing. I'm talking about desiring. You're not to even want it. But yet you do want it. You want a portion of it so that you can have free education. So that you can have a fire department down the road. We have a fire department here where I live. But it's a volunteer fire department. It's paid for by volunteer contributions. Is that the kind of fire department you want? Do you want to love your neighbor or force your neighbor to buy you a new fire truck? It's legal to do that in the world that you have created. How did you create that world? The voice of the people elected a ruler who could exercise authority one over the other. They elected lots of these rulers. They call them congresses and parliaments. And presidents and prime ministers. And they elect these men. So that they will exercise authority over their neighbor. And provide the benefits and security that they want. That's in direct violation of Exodus 20:17. It's in direct violation of what God has always wanted. You go back to Moses. Go back to Samuel. And Samuel said it. That if you go this way, if you elect somebody, he's going to take, and he's going to take, and he's going to take, and he's going to take. He tells you that in Samuel 8:10. What did you expect? What did you think was going to happen? In Samuel, 1 Samuel 8:18, he finally finishes this description of what you have today in every one of these countries. He says, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, prime minister, president, which ye shall have chosen you, elected, You, the voice of the people. That's where he starts with. The voice of the people chose to have this ruler who could exercise authority. Your churches are telling you, go down and vote. Choose another one. Oh, that didn't work. Choose another one. Oh, that didn't work. Choose another one. I've watched it for decades and half a century. I have watched and watched and watched these elections. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So I ask you, how's that working out for you? Because it's not working. As far as I can see, you are on the brink of a precipice of destruction. You're just hanging there by an economic thread. Your children have grown up and they are selfish. Even when they want to give charity, they want to give charity that makes them feel good. Charity doesn't always make you feel good. Sometimes charity is hard. When Christ died on the cross, that was an act of charity. That was not easy. He didn't even want to do it. But he did it because he knew it was the will of God. Are you doing things because it's the will of God, or are you doing them because you want it? Do you want to do the will of God, or do you want to do your own thing? Yeah, the whole thing, Samuel 8, is quoted extensively in Common Sense. Back when Common Sense was written in the 1700s by Thomas Paine. But Common Sense is dead today in America. It's dead today in the modern churches. They think they can cry out for a new leader who can exercise authority. Now, I know some of you are actually going down and deep in your hearts, you're voting for somebody that you hope will take less from your neighbor. That's good. That's a good sign. That's a kingdom track. That's a sign that deep down in your heart you want to turn around. But you got to turn around and seek the whole righteousness of Christ. You have to start providing an education for your children. I know many of you are homeschoolers. Now, you may be homeschoolers for all kinds of reasons. Some of those reasons may not be good reasons. We were homeschoolers, and we told people for years they thought we were homeschooling our children because they would get a better education, and they would. They thought we were homeschooling our children because we didn't agree with the religious philosophies that were often creeping into the modern public education. And, of course, that's true. But the reason I gave them for homeschooling our children, and I would stand there right in a crowd of people in the middle of the street in the local town where the school was. I would even say this in the school. I don't send my kids to this school because I do not covet my neighbor's goods, and I will not force my neighbor to provide an education for my children at the point of a gun. I could tell you could hear a pin drop sometimes when I would tell them that. The wheels turned, but they were rusty. They didn't evidently turn enough, because most of them continued to say. I remember once I was in a crowd of guys who were working on something, and I pointed out that 75% of the people in this county get a government check every month in their household. And they go, really? They were just shocked. I says, well, 50% of the people in the state of Oregon get a government check every month. 50% of the households get a government check every month. And they were said, that's terrible. And I says, you know, you guys, they were all just up in arms about this, outraged by this statistic. And I says, you know, when I look around, all the guys standing here, my household is the only household of the people standing here in this group that is not getting a government check every month. Because I knew that several of the wives of these hardworking men, decent men, close to Christian men in many ways, they were all getting government checks. Some of them actually got government checks. Some of them, their wives got government checks. But yeah, they had jobs. But those jobs are provided by benefactors, men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other. And Christ said, it's not to be that way with you. But it was. And that's why Samuel said that they will take and take and take and take and take. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, president, or prime minister, which ye shall have chosen for yourselves. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. He tells you. You have to repent. Don't tell me you believe in Jesus Christ and you are not repenting of this simple, common sense understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot have eternal life if you continue to covet your neighbor's goods so that you can have free education, free health care, free police service, free this and free that at the expense of your neighbor. So it really isn't free. And know this, you have more neighbors than there are you. So any democracy is going to lead you down that path of covetousness. Because your neighbors want more stuff than you. And if you think it's okay to take from your neighbor, then by your law, it's okay for your neighbor to take from you. Stop. Start taking back your responsibilities as a man of God. Stop following the whoring crowd. Start going the other way. Turn around. Repent. Come together in a quest for righteousness and a righteous sacrifice, a righteous Corban of free will offerings to take care of the needy of your society, the true needy of your society. And this is what we write about at His Holy Church. And we show you how you've been deceived. We show you where the lie creeped into your religion and where your religion became impure. And we don't tell you this to condemn you. We don't tell you this to humiliate you. We don't tell you this to put you down. We tell you this so that you can turn around. Stop! You're headed for a bridge that isn't there. You're headed for a precipice of destruction. You're headed for condemnation. Repent. Turn around. Let's go the other way. Let's go the way of Christ, the way of Moses, the way of Abraham, the way of the prophets. Let's go back that other way. That's what we need to do. That's where we need to go. In Jeremiah 5, especially verses 26 and 31, somebody quoted that this morning when they sent me an email, and I sent back a long email to our personal contact ministers throughout the country and in Australia to pass on to their own groups. And it was kind of a long post I sent to him, and I didn't want to waste it on one little small group that has included me in their postings. So I sent it to our own groups, our own network, and hopefully some of them will send it out to others. I hope I didn't have a chance to reread it, so it may have a few typos in it, as usual. But the spirit is there. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. Boy, I tell you, that kind of tells it right there. They set a trap. How do they do that? They do it with their systems of welfare. Paul tells you that. King David told you that. Through covetousness, they shall make you merchandise. Peter told you that. What should have been for their welfare has become a snare. Because you desired these benefits at your neighbor's expense, you have gone into bondage. You are again entangled in the elements of the world. We have articles on this. Elements of the world. Look it up. Elements of the kingdom. There's a search engine on every page. You can read this and you can learn. But it's not enough to seek the knowledge of our error. We must turn around and actually apply ourselves to doing what we have neglected. If we do not want God to neglect us, we must turn around and head back towards His ways. We are all prodigal sons. We are all sinners. We have all gone the wrong way. We are all under a strong delusion. And it is time for us to wake up and go back the other way. And that's what I'm asking you to do. That is what I'm praying that you will do, is turn around and go the other way. And you're going to need help along that way. And the Lord will run out and meet you halfway. And you'll need that because you've gone a long way from home. And the time is running out. Without a miracle, you will not persevere. You will not survive. But God is gracious for those who repent. If you do not forgive your neighbor what you think he owes you, the money, the lifestyle, the benefits, you have to forgive your neighbor the payment of those benefits. You have to set that neighbor free. You have to go the other way. If you do not go the other way, if you do not turn around, how can God forgive you? How can God do for you what you need? Because you're still feeding the swine in the foreign land, in a place where God's kingdom is not. Now, it's not geographic that we're talking about. We're talking about ways. Because the kingdom of heaven is not here. The kingdom of heaven is not there. The kingdom of heaven is where God prevails. And that's in your heart, in your mind. If you want to go the other way, join us at hisholychurch.org. Join us on the Living Network. Join those other people that are beginning to seek. Now, everybody on that network is not really seeking what we're talking about. A lot of them have just joined an email group. That's okay, because most of what goes on of value is not in emails. It's in living connections made between living men and women who want to turn their lives around, who want to become true Christians, who want to go the other way. And that's the way that we all need to go. That's the way we all need to strive and seek. And so anyway, we're going to talk about a lot of that in the next part of the show. And we're going to continue our conversation on some of these things about the kingdom of heaven that most people are oblivious to. And again, I will sometimes be rattling those bars that have brought you back into bondage of Egypt, which is where you are today. Worse than it was in even Egypt. And I don't care what country you're in. From Santo Domingo to Australia to, obviously, China, Soviet Union, whatever's left of it. And all these countries that are claiming their independence, but going deeper and deeper into the New World Order. And there are so many layers to it. There are so many bars. And you get to, you know, what do they say that when they are crossing the mountains? What did you find when you crossed the mountain? More mountains. What do you see when you got rid of these bars that have imprisoned you in your spirit and in your being? More bars. More cages. More layers. And in peeling this onion, there will be lots of tears. But there will be joy too. There will be happiness because you know, I have found the way. I know now where I must go. I am no longer a lost sheep. New life can now come into me. And I know that before I arrive home, my Father will run out and meet me. We'll be back to Keys of the Kingdom.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, "They are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights." Nor did Jefferson write, "They are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights." Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident. Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of His law. If unalienable rights are endowed, granted, or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything and we will always maintain access to these natural law unalienable rights endowed by God? Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction? Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep His inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep His laws, do His will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to Him and His government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways and, in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about the aspects of the kingdom of God that most people are unaware of. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the Old Testament. And we're going to continue to explore this in ways that will often be iconoclastic. They will often clash with what you've been told, what you have thought was true. That's okay. If you hear something that you think, oh, that can't be true, well, I understand that. But we've thoroughly looked into this. We've thoroughly researched it. We've thoroughly prayed about it. We've spent a lifetime going over what was the activities of the early church, what was really going on in Moses' Israel. Not the Pharisees' Israel, but what Moses was really doing, what Abraham was really doing. And we've laid this out in step-by-step chronology, in books, in articles, on News with Views. We're now on other radio stations as well, you know, actual, you know, ground-based radio stations, 5 times a week. And we will try to explain all the details to you, to help you through this labyrinth of lies that has imprisoned you. There is a way through it, and Christ has left that way. God has always provided his prophets to show you the way. But you have to go that way. You have to choose to turn around. You have to go this other way yourself. And I know we've had listeners that have listened to us for years, and then suddenly they began to become more active and realize that they not only have a friend in Christ, but they have a friend in those who love Christ. And they will help them, and they will assist them, and they will sacrifice themselves for them. And they are now learning to sacrifice as well for one another, because that is the nature of Christ in them, to sacrifice himself for love of others. When you have a nation of people that will do that, you have an invincible nation where people live by honor and righteousness, not by covetousness. If you cannot learn that lesson, you cannot enter into the kingdom, because your faith is a lie. In Daniel 4:3, we see how great are his signs. How mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. The kingdom of God is within you. It is within your family. If you will turn around, your whole family will be blessed, because the family is the institution of God. And the world that has brought you into bondage will undermine that family. We just heard that in the news recently, where somebody's going to hold their leaders to account. Your leaders are all Rehoboams. Your leaders have whipped you with whips, and the new leaders will whip you with scorpions. And I don't care who wins your elections in whatever country you're in. That is the direction you are going, or you are going in the other direction. If you're going in the other direction, you are not looking to your leaders to solve the problem. You are becoming the solution by becoming diligent in the ways of Christ. They have a light that they show you, and they say, come, follow us. But the light at the end of their tunnel is a freight train of destruction. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He is a light bearer, but his light is dim compared to that of the Lord. Turn around, go the other way. You are born in darkness, but Christ was the light, and Christ said, the Corban of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect, and this is something we talk about, we have articles about, we have recordings about. The Corban of the Pharisees makes the word of God to none effect. You see it every day in the news, the new progressivism, the new socialism, moving away from the Corban of Christ to the Corban of the Pharisees. In every aspect of your life, you have become so dependent upon it. Turn around. Let's go the other way. The word translated heaven in that statement of concerning Lucifer, fallen from heaven, is written that it's not Shamayin in an article about Satan. He says it's the normal word for heaven or sky in the Hebrew. He says it's the word male. But when I look it up, it's not. It's the word shamanin. And the article is based on a false premise. And people are reading it, but nobody checks it out. Nobody actually looks it up. Nobody goes back to the original text. And a great deal of the information in the article is true. And we were quoting that in previous shows. But in examining it, why did I go and check that? I thought that was peculiar. And I wondered where else would they use this word Ma'al. Because Ma'al is similar to Baal. But it has a mem on the beginning instead of a beit. So I thought I would look. Something drew me to look. And it's not true. What he says is not true. His premise is false. And I can make those mistakes as well. I want you to call me out if you find me making a mistake. We want to be challenged. We don't think we know it all. We are striving. We are seeking. And we want to seek with others. We want to go arm in arm, hand in hand, but we want to follow that revelation of Christ that each of us should have access to. Occasionally, we may have to lean on one another, but we do not want to make that our design. Each of us must stand alone before Christ and say, you know, this is what I have done. This is what I have sought. And he will say, come in, ye good and faithful servant. Even if you have failed here and there, he will forgive that. But not if you do not forgive others. He tells you that. Christ tells you that. If you do not forgive, neither will my Father forgive you. If we go back to Genesis, you know, and I was talking in the last show about what I believe. I believe everything in the universe has a corresponding spiritual existence. And you go back to Genesis 1:1, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And as I said before, the photons that follow a pattern of DNA strands, the deoxyribonucleic acid is a nucleic, that is a what we call DNA, is a nucleic acid containing, you know, the genetic instructions used in the development and functioning of all known living organisms, at least on this planet. Within cells, DNA is organized into a kind of a long structure called the chromosomes. During cell division, these chromosomes are duplicated in a process of DNA replication. They divide and duplicate themselves from that division, providing each cell its own complete set of chromosomes, the instructions. And you started from one of those cells, formed in procreation into this one unit. there's a spiritual message in this physical reality. These ribonucleic acids, RNA is a nucleic acid, is one of those four macromolecules, such as lipids and carbohydrates and proteins, which are essential for all known forms of life. And they work together to form this DNA structure, which is the template of the creation of a new human being or any creature. We're talking about 220 million base pairs of these nucleotides. 3 billion base pairs of DNA arranged in 46 chromosomes. Billion. All this going on in every cell. Every cell. Way back in the 40s, there was a geneticist, Barbara McClintock. I can remember that from the movie with John Wayne. The name McClintock sticks in my head. I'm bad at names, but I can remember her name anyway. But she thought that the genetic sequencing is not the sequencing is not static. That it actually makes leaps and changes. And it's because all the chromosomes are not activated. And so we have to ask, what activates those chromosomes? And what allows, you know, there are millions upon millions of errors that take place every day in your body in this cell division. And sometimes those errors begin to repeat themselves and you have what they call cancer. And it kills you and it gets into your blood. Well, Moses says the blood is the seat of the soul. And cancer is an identity disease. It's you don't know who you are. Your body, because when those cells split and are destroyed by your own white blood cells, your own immune system, because when they split and they create errors, they don't look like you anymore. And your body recognizes that and your body kills those cancer cells. But occasionally, your body doesn't recognize them as not you anymore. Your immune system doesn't know who you are. And it allows those systems to recreate. The polio vaccine has been the cause of huge amounts of cancer in the world today. This is why we have cancer as such an epidemic. And we talked about it before how, you know, the statistics have come out. 1 in 2 men in Canada will get cancer. Why would that be? You think it would be? That's an unbelievable statistic. We just shared an article on the network about a fellow who was diagnosed with cancer, and his 60s, and went back to his home country to die because it was cheaper to die in Greece, which is, you know, he'd lived in America since World War II, and. His wife was from America. His children were all born here in America. But his parents still lived back in Greece, and he went back there and to die there because it was cheaper to die there than to die in America because of the expense of funerals. And he thought he'd be buried in his home plot, family plot. But he didn't die. He's well into his 90s. He believes he's 102 years old. He didn't die. He kept on, and the cancer went away. He changed his lifestyle. And I tell you that if you change completely your lifestyle, don't just change your diet. Change your spiritual diet as well. That you will be less likely to have these illnesses, these identity crisis illnesses, where you are consumed by your own body. There, something activates the chromosomes in your DNA. So, and like we talked, everything is frequency. And we also talked about the fact that light wants to follow the pattern of DNA. Even when you remove the DNA from the experiment where they're shining the light through a substance that had the DNA, the light wanted to follow the same pattern, as if the medium held the memory of that DNA. If God could create such a system, such a complex system, and I could go on and on about how complex that system is, how things are turned on in the cells just by certain events, and how cells communicate with other cells. There's in your body, these billions of cells have, they're all individuals working together, and they create this living temple that you call your flesh and blood, and in that your spirit lives, and your spirit guides the recreation of yourself. As those cells, they believe that it takes like 7 years for all the cells in your body to die and new ones to take their place. A process that's going on all the time. And in that process, errors are created. And I tell you that a lot of those errors are allowed to be created and sometimes not stop because of the fact that in your spiritual life, you're also making errors. You're going the wrong way. That one of the things that if you turn around and start doing what God said, see, you're being recreated every day by the world around you. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:27. But you're being recreated by the society in which you live, by the people whom you surround yourself with, by the people you pray to and look to. And you're having an identity crisis because those people are not made in the image of God. They're not living according to the ways of God. And you're being recreated. And that is why you have a plague of cancer. Yes, it's connected to the food. Yes, it's connected to the environment. But if you want to change your food and change your environment, but you do not change your heart, then you're still destined for the same outcome. You must change your heart. And you can't do it yourself. You do it by facing the light and allowing the light to enter into you and follow the way in you that you were meant to be. And then you don't have that doubt as to who you are. And the white blood cells in your body will not have a doubt as to who you are. And you will be made again in the image of God. That's a process. That's why Christ starts with, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. He talks about, I am the light. I told somebody just the other day again, the most profound sermon given by Christ contained no or little knowledge. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Let the light in. Let the light of Christ in. You know, the world has its light. But its light is not the white light of Christ. It's not the perfect light of Christ. It is not God's creation. It is something less. And it will leave you empty somewhere. Boy, somewhere. When Adam committed his sin against God, did he take responsibility for it? Did he say, oh my God, I have sinned against you. Forgive me. Did he run to find God and fall down at God's feet and say, God, you walk in the garden, but I am a sinner. Forgive me. I have done what you said not to do. I have used knowledge to sustain me. I have eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I take full responsibility for what I did. Is that what Adam did? No. He said, the woman you gave me the fruit. It's not my fault. It is your fault. You knew when she gave it to you. You said, isn't this the fruit that we are forbidden to eat? But you ate it anyway. Every man does that. Women do that as well. They don't accept the responsibility for what they've done. They don't want to see their error. You cannot be that way, or you will be remade in a new image, an image that's not you. you will set yourself up for destruction. You must be recreated in the image in which God has made you. And in order to do that, you must see the light. You must admit the error. Stop turning away from the light. Stop hiding in your religions. Stop hiding in your music. Stop hiding in your food. Stop hiding in your philosophies. And admit, you screwed up. You went the wrong way. You didn't forgive. You weren't giving. You were trying to decide for yourself what was right and wrong, and you create these philosophies in these religions and say, oh, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I use this calendar. I follow this way. I say these words. And so therefore, I am amongst the righteous. Bull. That's not true. That's witchcraft. You are only righteous if you are made in the image of God. And what is God? God is a giver of life. Are you a taker of life or a giver of life? If you're a taker of life, now you know what side of the tree you've been eating on. Turn around. Stop it. Start going the other way. God knows you're frail. God knows you're weak. God knows you will stumble. He will forgive that. Get back up and start heading back in the ways of God. Start dressing and keeping the garden immediately around you. Start seeking others who are doing the same thing. Why? So that they can help you? No, so that you can help them. You do not come back so that your father will take care of you. You come back to serve your father. You serve your father by taking care of one another. It's not about saving yourself. That's what got you into trouble. Why did Adam hide? He wanted to save his own pride. Forget about that. You're all naked in the eyes of the Lord. Repent. Turn around. Let's go the other way. Let's start creating a society with God's help that does not covet its neighbor's goods, that would rather give than receive, that would rather sacrifice themselves so that others may have life more abundant. And in doing so, they become like Christ, and God can flow into them with His light. No shadows. It's not going to miss those, what is there, 64 chromosomes? According to some scientists, only about 20 of them are active in your body. What happened to the other? Oh, did I say 64? 46 chromosomes. That's my dyslexia showing up. But anyway, but why are only less than half of them are active? That's terrible. Why? It's because the light of God is not in you. Why is the light of God not in you? Because you're hiding from it. Genesis 9:6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. What does that mean? It means if you covet your neighbor's goods, which are provided to your neighbor by his sweat, his blood, then your blood and sweat shall be shed too. You see, that's what's brought you into bondage. It isn't that you elected the wrong leaders. It's that you elected a leader at all. Anyway, we'll talk about that when we get back to Keys of the Kingdom.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hislholychurch.com. www.hisholychurch.net.